May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. There are several things that are on my heart to share, but I can only do one. So we'll do this one. I'm going to take just a few moments to talk to you about, and I hate using these little key phrases, but I can't figure out what else to say, but because it's not a secret if you can find out what it is, and that sounds so mystical, or the key, I hate that word. There was a book one time written, I bought it when I was still struggling with mental illness years ago, and it was called The Key to Everything. It was in a Christian bookstore. I thought, well, that's got to be the best book that's ever written. And it wasn't. But I am going to give you insight into if walking and releasing the power of God is a priority to you. And to some people, it's like the number one priority. Shouldn't be. Jesus' presence has got to be your number one priority. But we do know that Christians are hungering more and more to see the power of God released in their life and through their life. That's a part of Christ himself living his life in you and through you. It's an important part. We have a world that's full of suffering people, and they need to encounter the risen Christ who functions freely and fully in all the expressions of power we see in Scripture. So I'm going to give you the key. I'm going to give you the secret to walking in the power of God and releasing the power of God. So I'm going to tell you again. All right, I'm going to give you the key. Now, God can use other means to help you along, you know, stir it up a little bit. But I'm going to give you the biblical key secret to walking in and releasing the power of God. All righty? So if that's a priority to you, you need to really listen up. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I've said this to you before. I actually heard this from somebody else many years ago, even I did at a conference. And this person said this. He said, Jesus Christ was the weakest man who ever lived. Now remember, though, Jesus was God. He was also the Son of Man, and he lived on earth as a man, spirit-filled man, but still he was tempted in every way like we are. So he walked in the frailty of humanity. Not the sinfulness. He was tempted, but the frailty of humanity. And he was so weak, he chose weakness. He emptied himself, and he chose weakness to such a degree that when he died, if the Father had not done something on his behalf, he would still be in the grave. Jesus refused to do anything on his own initiative, and Jesus refused to do anything out of his own deity and his own power. Instead, Jesus lived a life of faith, and the very nature of faith is if Aaron were a mechanic, and I had a car, and I am who I am, so the attempt of trying to fix that car would make sure the car never worked again. And so in weakness and in humility, I would look to Aaron, who I've learned about and heard about, proven testimonies are that he's a great mechanic, faithful and trustworthy. And so I would go to Aaron and say, look, I'm looking to you to fix this car because I can't. That's walking in weakness, and it's walking in faith. Faith, by its very nature, is that I'm looking to someone beyond myself to do for me what I've come to the conclusion I can't do for myself. That's faith. It involves a second person, a second party. We've said this before. It's like eyesight. You can't tell your eyes are working unless they're fixed on another object. Faith is like that. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, it says in verse 4, "For indeed, he, Jesus, was crucified because of weakness." Because of weakness. You see, it was the Father's will for his crucifixion. He chose not to exercise his own deity and spare himself of that. So there's a surrendered part to that. And he was trusting in his Father, because his Father had a plan. "For indeed, he was crucified because of weakness, yet he lives today because of the power of God." The Father raised him from the grave. Jesus did not raise himself up from the grave. He was absolutely and utterly surrendered and totally dependent on his Father for everything he did. He made that really clear throughout the Scriptures. And even in his death, again, if Jesus had, the Father had not chosen to raise him up in power, Jesus would still be in the grave because he came to a place where he refused to do anything out of his own ability, apart from utter dependence on his Father. Then it says the next verse, next part of the verse, it says, "For we also are weak in him, yet we shall live with him because of the power of God." And he said the same principle works for us. Jesus said, "Just as the Father sent me, so send I you." That's not just about what he did, but how he did it. Meek and lowly of heart, like we talked about Sunday. Is that just as Jesus chose to do nothing on his own, in terms of his own will, or by his own power and ability, we're called to live the same way in him. In weakness, be utterly dependent on the power of God. And hear it again. He was crucified because of weakness, yet he lives because of the power of God. Because Jesus put himself, chose to be in a position of weakness, the power of God was released in him in resurrection power. He says, "For we also, just like him, are weak in him, yet we shall live with him because of the power of God." It's the same principle. If you walk in weakness, then you will realize and release the power of God. Amen? That's very simple. Amen? I can lay hands on you until you turn green and glow in the dark. You can fall on the floor and bounce across the floor and around the room, dance over the pews and around in circles around the building. But if you don't get this, you're only going to know the power of God released in you for a very short period of time, like getting plugged into a light bulb. But if you don't know how to turn the switch on and keep it on, this is the secret, the key to moving in and releasing and walking in the power of God. Go back one chapter, Paul. He says, because, verse 7, of the surpassing greatness of revelations, "For this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness.'" Mark said it last night. The Christian life is not a change life. It's an exchange life. All that he is for all that you need all of the time. What does he need from me? What's the great exchange? All that he is for all that I am. My weakness. I give him my weakness, and I give him my weakness situation by situation. I can't, but you can. 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 Thanks. I can't, but you can. Thanks. Lest a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die of its own ability, own self-will, it will remain alone. But if it dies, it shall bear much fruit. This is the principle. You see, the secret, the key to walking in, realizing, and releasing the power of God is to not be ashamed of your weakness. Lian Payne called it celebrating your smallness. Celebrate your smallness, temptation by temptation, situation by situation, relationship by relationship, admitting to him that you can't. And if you try, you'll get it really messed up. And that you're utterly dependent on the power of God. And that's when the power of God flows as a rhythm, like a river in our lives. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.